different about Brenda Russell today? She is celebrating the 80th anniversary of her 39th birthday this week. No, she's not 129 or whatever, but it's your birthday this coming week, right? Yep. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And Emily, is Emily here? The Bronson, they're not here today? All right, Emily's got a birthday coming up here too. December is just the greatest month ever. You know, as Steve mentioned in his prayer time, when he led us in confession, I was thankful for his transparency because I, too, get very distracted by all the stuff, you know. Gifts, you know, whatever, which sometimes what you're not getting, right? What you think, all of that stuff. And so it can be pretty tough time, but it makes me, you know, so I'm going to be a stumbling block to you here this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about Christmas gifts, even though sometimes they're a distraction. So you'll just have to repent at later on, okay? Are you done shopping? I feel sorry if you're not done shopping, because this week is crazy. Very crazy, crazy week. And so you'll have to fight the crowds and all that. I think one of the, when I think of Christmas and Christmas gifts, I think of probably one of the most infamous Christmas gifts ever. And we're going to talk about Christmas gifts this morning. One of the most infamous Christmas gifts ever was this. Right? You remember who, what little boy, remember his name? Ralphie, right? And what did everybody tell Ralphie? We're not going to get you that because you're going to what? Shoot out your eye. And so sure enough, Ralphie goes outside and he shoots the dumb gun. And what happens? It comes back, ricochets, hits his glasses, and he loses them, right? And then, you know, then of course he tells a tall tale. And so Little Red, I did not know that these were still in existence. And this last week, I was waiting for, I picked up Noah after school, and Bryce was at basketball practice, and it was getting done early, and so I didn't go home, because by the time I went home, I just had to turn around and come right back, so it didn't make sense. So there's this little Roush hardware store down in Westerville, and I've driven by it 7 billion times, and I thought, well, I'll just go in there, you know, old-fashioned hardware store, and I go in, and lo and behold, there are little Red Ryder BB guns there. And I was like a kid in the candy shop. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And that's probably one of the most infamous gifts. And then, as you get older, I never understood my mom. Every year, my mom has a Christmas list, and she puts it on the fridge. And she does this like in August. I'm being facetious, but like she does it really early. And so I was talking to her the other day, and I knew I was preaching on Christmas gifts. And so I said, hey, Mom, can you shoot me a picture of your Christmas list this year? Because she does this crazy stuff every year. And this is my mom's Christmas list. Do you see the thing at the very top there? Hugs. Who on earth puts hugs on their Christmas list? That's just weird. And then there's some other things that she wants there. That she's an L.L. Bean freak. So she wants stuff from there and all that. And then look at the one on the bottom, right? Well, the one on the bottom is the planner. But the one right above that, peace on earth. Who asks for that for Christmas? My weird mother does. But there are different, this just goes to show you that there are different kinds of gifts and things that, there's all sorts of gifts, isn't there? I was talking with the Conant boys this morning, and DJ was like, we got the Nintendo Switch. You jealous, Bryce? And I think my son back there, yeah, Leah, are you jealous? No? Oh yeah, she said. The Nintendo Switch, the new game system from Nintendo. All sorts of different things. Games, my mom wants jewelry, she wants this, that, or whatever. There's things that we all want with Christmas gifts, and so we can't help but think about Christmas gifts during Christmas time. And so this morning, Jason read for us, Isaiah chapter 9, and listed in there, in that prophetic passage, were really some forthtelling, some prophetic gifts that Jesus would be. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's prophetic. He's the light of the earth, the world. And so this morning, what I want to do as that, as we looked, and that was the theme of our music this morning, peace on earth, peace from Christ. What I want to do is I want to look from, launch out from that Isaiah passage this morning, and we're going to look at a lot of passages, multiple passages, a dozen or so this morning, and they'll be on the screen. So if you're visiting with us and you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you, you're welcome to follow along. But I put these up on the screen so that way, because we're going to move often, so that way you could keep up with what we're looking at. So let's look at this morning specifically three gifts that we find from Christmas. First of all, there's the gift of grace. Number one, the gift of grace. What is grace? It's a word that we use. It's a word that sometimes, like my niece, her name is Charis, which is the Greek transliteration from the Greek for grace. We hear people called grace. What is grace? Simply grace, really not to make it real difficult, simply grace is unearned kindness. You know, there's a phrase that we use in our modern vernacular today that kind of sums this up that we can relate to. Random acts of kindness. That's grace. You heard of people doing random acts of kindness? Well, Christmas was God's random, because we didn't deserve it, act of kindness to us by giving us Jesus. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is Jesus. This is another name for Jesus, the second person. And the Word was God. Jesus is God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And here, look at this grace. The Jesus who is preexistent, verse 4, in Him, that is Jesus, was life. And this life was the light of men. And later on, some years later, John writes again, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our own hands concerning the word of life, that is Jesus. They talked and interacted and touched Him and fellowshipped and drank and ate with Him. This life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Notice that the eternal Jesus came. People saw and touched and experienced Him, and this real person was proclaimed as what? The eternal life. Why did Jesus come? Why this grace? John 11 and verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the scripture tells us, for the wages or the payment of sin. Have you ever sinned before? The payment or what you earn for that sin is death. And that death is not just death as in going into the grave and having a funeral someday. The most severe part of that sentence there, that payment, is that death there is talking about eternal separation from God. Spiritual death. The wages, what you earn for your sin, is eternal separation from God. But I love this word. But the free gift of God is eternal life in, through, and by Jesus Christ. Oh, what is grace? Grace is Jesus. Grace is God sending Himself, His Son, Jesus, being manifested in the flesh and coming. We don't deserve it. That's Jesus. That's God's random act of kindness to us. That is the gift of Christmas, because you and I don't deserve it. What we deserve is that the payment is eternal separation. We have turned our backs on God. And because we have turned our backs on God, we deserve eternal separation from Him. But God says, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to do this random act of kindness, as we would say in our vernacular. And that is what? Send Jesus, the unearned kindness. Jesus himself, who is eternal light, truth, resurrection, the gift. Jesus, you know, Jesus doesn't just possess something that we can reach for. It's not like I have this little slide advancer and I have it and I say, hey, if you do such and such, then you can have this, that you can possess this. Jesus doesn't have this eternal life that, and it's like some sort of thing that he has that we can reach for, that we can get. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is the essence. It's not some commodity that we would have to earn or bargain or manipulate for. Because if it was something that we just could possess and reach for and gain, then we could earn it. And we could bargain for it. And then we can manipulate things for it. But that's not what eternal life is. That's not what redemption is. That's not what the gift of grace is. We can't earn it or get it. And that's why Jesus, why this is such a grace gift. Why Christmas is a gift of grace. You know, we're taught and we're faced, and this world is faced with so many people saying, just go get it. That's not grace, that's business. For instance, there are approximately 1.7 billion people on this planet that follow Allah, the faith of Islam. And as a matter of fact, that's growing. The faith of Islam says that salvation or deliverance is something that you can get and be owed, and that your fate is really up to you. Your fate, your deliverance, exaltation, etc. is up to you. On a blog site, Islamic blog site, there's an introductory remark to, and then they give this graphic. And I meant to put the graphic, but I forgot it. And the graphic was titled, To Do. And then there were six things that you could do to make sure that you earn your redemption. Here's the introductory graph or statement to that graphic. Quote, we all have our eyes on the ultimate goal, the biggest prize, which they called, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Al-Firdaus. It's the highest level of jhana or paradise or what they would call heaven. It's the highest level of jhana. In it, what no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and no human has ever imagined. But what exactly do we have to do to attain this lofty and honorable level? Question mark, close quote. And then they have this list. Such things as make sure you practice Ramadan. Make sure that you do certain things. That's not grace. That's a business transaction where you can earn. And it's not just them. There are many. Jesus is the only person who comes to us and gracefully says, I don't possess something. I am something. Allah, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many other world religions hold out salvation and deliverance, and they say, here it is, go get it. Jesus is the only one that comes and says, not that I have something, but that I am something. Not that you can attain eternal life, but I can freely give you eternal life. Not that if you complete a checklist, you are owed something, but if you trust me, you will be rescued because I love you. Not that if you mess up, then you have to use your pencil and erase parts of your checklist. But that the relationship is based on what I have settled and done and passed in history. And it's done forever. Jesus is the gift of Christmas. And that gift is a gracious gift. Don't you see? Isn't Jesus amazing? He doesn't say earn it. He says I am it. All you have to do is trust me. Man, that is a gracious thing for us. That's not the only gift of Christmas. Christmas also has the gift of authenticity. You know, Christmas is real. It's a real person tied to a real ancestry.com. Remember we looked at that a couple weeks ago? We looked at ancestry.com and Christmas, right? A person who was really born, who really lived, and people really experienced him and really ate fish with him and really walked with him and really got tired with him and really went fishing with him. I really like the word really. Jesus is not abstract. Some theory or some concept or some life-changing, altering concept. Jesus is real. He is authentic. First John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son." That word fellowship, we use that word. It's a word that means partnership or mutuality or being able to actually experience someone. Indeed, our experience, our partnership is with the Father, our fellowship with Him. Because, and the only way that that's possible is that He's real, He's authentic. 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 John 2 and verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you, remain in you. Think about it, meditate on it. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. What were they sharing? They were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that truth abides in you, if it changes you, if you're redeemed by the word of the Lord, by what Jesus has done, then what? You too will abide in the Son and in the Father. You know, what do people do today? You know, authenticity is a big thing today, isn't it? I mean, people really want to have authentic worship. They want to be authentic around other people. What is this authentic stuff? What does this mean? People turn for authenticity everywhere today. For instance, let's take another religion, and I'm just comparing Jesus to other faiths this morning as well. Let's take Eastern mystical religions, or a mysticism type of religion, or a New Age religion. In essence, what these claim is that deity is a what? Deity is a force. You can feel the force, you can experience enlightenment in your mind, and you can find peace and deliverance within yourself. Ultimately, this force then is an impersonal one. It is not one that stays, but one that has to continually be rejuvenated, continually have to be sought after, continually have to be found and come to peace with. There was a film, I think, in 2010 called Eat, Love, and Pray, I think, starring Julia Roberts. And she was a woman who was going through a divorce and an unfaithfulness. And a film critic wrote about this film one time. She wrote this. This film critic, I mean, wrote about that movie. This, quote, "Journey is an ideal metaphor for the spiritual life. It encourages us to see our experiences as a movement towards transformation, a movement towards wholeness and holiness. Every step along the journey counts because it gets us further along the path. A spiritual journey is a quest for a greater awareness of the sacred in the daily life, a deeper sense of meaning and purpose, a more vital connection to those we love, and a fuller response to our world, both its problems and its delights. As the Trappist monk Thomas Merton once wrote, our real journey in life is interior. It is a matter of growth, deepening, and an ever greater surrender in the creative action of love and grace in our hearts." Close quote. That's abstract. That's not authentic. Christmas means authenticity, because Jesus is real. He's not fake. He's not an imagination. He's not something that you have to reach inside and hope that you can find it. He's not something along this journey in life that you can go, and you can go to, as that movie talked about, you can go to Bali, and you can go to Italy, and you go to these other places, and you can feel like you become one, and you do this little kumbaya thing and burn some incense, and then maybe, just maybe, you'll conjure up some sort of spiritual awakening in your life. That's abstract. That's a force. That's not reality. That's not authentic. Jesus is authentic. Peace with Jesus, peace is not a force or a movement towards transformation, but a reality of the real Jesus making things right with God on our behalf. Remember back to Romans 6:23. Remember, the payment for your rejection of God is what? Eternal, what's the word? Death, separation. And so we are, as it were, if we could use this terminology, God's wrath is upon us. And there is no peace between us and God. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us there in Romans chapter 5, "For if while we were enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now shall we be reconciled, shall we be saved by this life." First, or Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, and 21, and through him, that is Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. You see, Jesus is true peace. We oftentimes think that we, if we're good, if we have the checklist like we looked at first, or if we find peace within ourselves, then everything will be good. But there really is only one way to peace with God, and that's through Jesus. Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God on your behalf. And if you would trust that and in not in what you can do, here's what we want to do. We want to have, it's like a resume when you go to work, right? When you go to work or you go somewhere, you have a resume and you take that paper, that resume with you, and you say, look, here's my name and here's my credentials. And look at all the really good stuff I have done. This is what makes me qualified. This is what makes me better than Terry to get the job. This is what makes me better than Allison to get the job. You see, I'm better. I'm okay. I'm good. It's my personal resume. And what we do in our walk, in our spiritual life, is that we take this personal resume. We think we can have this personal resume and say, hey, look at God. I've done this and I've done that and I've done this. I'm good. As a matter of fact, I'm better than Saddam Hussein. As a matter of fact, I'm better than Charles Manson. As a matter of fact, I am better than you fill in the blank. You see, God, I've earned it. I'm a good guy. I'm not as bad as others. I'm better than others, etc. But that doesn't work. Because that's a business transaction. That's we're trying to earn it. And we can't earn our redemption. We have to trust that Jesus paid it all. We have to trust that Jesus made peace with God. That's the only way to have a right relationship with God, is through what Jesus did. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus makes peace with God. That's the only true source of peace. Truth. With Jesus, truth isn't found in our experiences or a greater awareness of the sacred, but truth can really be known because Jesus is knowable. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us this, specifically in verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. We can understand because of the spirit of God, truth. It's not abstract. It's not a question. What is truth? We know what truth is because the truth is Jesus. Jesus says, back to the other verse, I am the way and the what? The truth. Jesus is truth. You know, if we were to follow these other ways, these enlightened ways that this monk one time says, our real journey in life is interior. Question, how would you know if you ever really found the truth? How? How would you know? How would you ever know? Or why do people have to continually seek after peace? It's never ending. It doesn't satisfy. But you know what does? Do you know who does? The gift of Christmas, and that's Jesus. Oh, you see, Christmas? Christmas isn't fake. Christmas is real. It's authentic because Jesus is real and authentic. Man, that's an amazing God. Christmas, the gift of Christmas is a relationship, and that's amazing. The third gift of Christmas this morning is the gift of rest. The gift of rest. You know, humanly, universally, across the board, every human wants to find value and identity, and they want to find significance in life. Everybody, every one of us does. And it doesn't matter what age we're at. We all want to feel significant, like we make a difference. We all want to fit in. Right? We don't want to be the round peg in a square hole. We want to be that square, perfect fit in some area of our life. And so what do? We look for it, don't we? We try to gain it. We try to look and see where it is. What is it for us? It might be different for different people, but We want to find it. So we look for it. We go after it. You see, life was filled with people who want to find satisfaction. And some of those people find that satisfaction in human relationships. A person provides and receives or pleases another person, and in that exchange, they find worth. Another person finds identity in what they do, and that gives them value and satisfaction. Men, most of the time for us, it's our work. We find identity in our work, and that provides for us value and satisfaction. Not all the time, but most of the time. Some find identity and a cause, and that is their source of value. I'm going to stand for this. I'm going to rally for the purple pygmy monkeys in Idaho. There is no such thing, and I'm not saying that if there is, I'm not putting this down. I'm just saying that was the first dumb example that came to my head. We find a cause and we stand for it. And not that relationships or work or causes are bad, but we find our identity and our worth in them oftentimes. These things never satisfy. They never give assurance of worth, and they never ultimately make you feel that you are truly significant. You know what they are? They are false gospels. They are false good newses. You think they're good newses, but they're false. They never satisfy. The person who seeks relationships, question, what happens when you don't meet someone's expectations, or someone doesn't give back to you, or what you've done hasn't been appreciated? How's that going for you? Question, what about the person who finds their identity in what they do? Men, their work. Question, what happens when somebody in your work doesn't care? Someone resists what you do, or you don't get a deserved promotion, or how do you know if you've done enough? What about the person who finds value in a cause? Question, what happens if you work and work and work and work and nothing ever changes? Are you successful? Have you been significant? How would you feel? You know, all of these things are false gospel, but Jesus comes along and says, you don't have to please people. You don't have to work and work and work, and you don't have to fight a never-ending fight your whole life. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I love that last word, souls. What's a soul? It's the mind, emotions, and will of a person. It's their being. You know what? Jesus gives rest to the complete person. And so, if this morning, if you're on the hamster wheel of life, working and working and working to find satisfaction, to find value in life, how's that going for you? Jesus says, come to me, and I can give you rest. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know what? It's good to fight for a cause. Just fight for the right one. Fight the good fight of faith. Life isn't easy, is it? It's difficult. And it doesn't matter if you're a senior in high school, does it, Alex? It's still difficult, isn't it? And it doesn't matter if you're a really super old, majorly old person like Doc. You're still... Fight the good fight of faith. The Bible also tells us that in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to yoke of slavery. When you're enslaved to prove yourself, you're in that relationship at work, that relationship somewhere else, and you do and you do and you do, and it's never good enough, how's that going for you? You know what? If you're seeking approval of men, you're always going to be in bondage to that. You're always going to be enslaved to that because you're never going to know if it's good enough. You're going to be rejected, and then it's going to hurt, and then you're going to try harder, or you're going to quit or something. With Jesus, it's so different. Man, isn't that an amazing gift? Is that not an amazing gift? There's freedom in Christ. Isaiah 55 tells us, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, if you have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not satisfy? Man, that is a great picture and a good question to ask. When you felt like you've run out and you're at your wit's end and you can't do anymore and you're just completely, completely bankrupt of all that you have, you've tried and tried and tried. You've given your last dime. You've done your last act of kindness and you're still not satisfied. You know what Jesus says? You don't have to have money. You can come to me and you know what I'll give you? Wine and milk and honey. And you know what that all symbolizes? Satisfaction. Jesus says, come to me and I will satisfy you. You know, you don't have to beat your head against the wall, trying to earn and earn and earn, always wondering, never coming to any solid conclusions. Jesus will give you rest. John 6 and verse 37 says, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Whoever comes to me. Have you ever come to Jesus with your hands open, not with your list, I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl, I'm not as bad as, I've earned it. But you've just come to Jesus, broken, and saying, I've tried. I've tried everything I could. I've tried every religion. And everything says I can get it and earn it and possess it, but I don't know if I can. I've tried and I'm still empty and I'm never satisfied. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, you come to me and I won't cast you out. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the gift of Christmas. Have you ever come to Jesus and said, you're right, I can't earn it and I can't do it, but I trust you, Jesus? Have you ever done that? And if you have done that and your faith is in Christ alone, this should just make you and cause you to be so thankful for your Savior this morning. And so when we sing Silent Night, Noel, For Unto Us a Child Is Born, man, that puts a completely different perspective on things, doesn't it? That does. Let's pray together this morning.